This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. First of all, a little bit of a check for you in terms of addresses, where to go, what to do, and how to see it. You can go to a21r.com. That's A and the number 2 and 1 R for Agenda 21 Radio. .com, a21r.com. That's for all the news and information that you want to find out about what's going on in the agendist world, and also, of course, for the United States of America's 21st century. And also, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. We've got a convention coming up next week. 1 week from today, the convention starts in Fresno, California. And it's going to be a two-day event. We're going to have an evening session and then a Saturday session all day. It's going to be a barn burner. A lot of things happening, new resolutions to be passed by the New California State Legislature meeting, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how some of these resolutions play out. We got about 25 resolutions presented by the counties of New California that we met last night and got a lot of them hammered out. So we're going to be meeting two more times, and it's going to be interesting to see those meetings and how they're going to play out. Rules committees being set up, a lot of things happening. But one of the big considerations is going to be a big topic at the New California State Convention. Well, several big topics. Law and order is going to be a big one, of course. Sanctuary state is going to be a big one. And also, what is going on with making Californians aware, or the situational awareness anyway, of where China stands. We're talking about red communist China in California. And somebody to help us out to understand this is a specialist in China, our very own Chris Street. He just wrote an article about what was going on, or what has been going on, with the port of Long Beach. A big concern by a lot of people for a long time because of the Chinese interest in it. But come to find out, as he's written so brilliantly in American Thinker, that the Trump administration has had a lot to say about it ever since Donald Trump became president, I might add. So with us right now is Chris Street. And Chris, a great article about what's going on in the port of Long Beach and the turnabout, I guess, is sort of fair play in this battle with China, isn't it?
Well, it is, Paul. You know, you're dealing with a situation here where, you know, Barack Obama actually told a group in Michigan that those jobs, they're never coming back. And under Barack Obama and the Democrats and their progressivism, you're not supposed to need to work at labor. You producing things are what other people do. Your job is to consume. And of course, they want you to consume what they want you to consume. Right. The idea of having a family, you know, having your own personal home and, you know, your own personal vehicle. These are things that are exploitive to the environment and the rest of the world. So it's only because of your selfishness that, you know, you elected Donald Trump and he has brought these jobs back. And now you have this confrontation over what's obviously a nutty idea to take a military port and give it to an adversary who not only A, gets a proprietary or predatory position, you know, on your coast, but B, you know, produces the most automated port in the world and gets rid of labor from Americans. Of course, brings in, you know, lots and lots of consultants, HB1 labor from China, and essentially tells you Americans, you need to go sit in your stack and pack, and we'll tell you what you're going to do and what you're going to buy.
So there was a lot of people that were displaced in the port of, Long Beach and also the San Pedro over the course, actually since the 1990s, the Chinese started to become very, very active. I know they the whole port was dismantled from shipbuilding.
Right.
And we're talking about San Pedro and the like. I was actually consulted 10 years ago. They brought me down to consult with some people down in Los Angeles, and that was a big topic of conversation, how to bring those jobs back. And from an educational standpoint, because of what we were doing in terms of trying to bring back manual arts at the time in the education system that had been totally blown out of the, you know, blown out literally starting in 1988, 89. And ultimately, all the schools, as you know, the public education schools in California have no shop classes, no ability to make. Kids are not being taught how to make things with their hands. And that was a big revelation. I sat down with some very, very influential people, and they just said, you know, we have to have schools in which people can work with their hands so we can bring this back. But because right now, this is 10 years ago, that they had sterilized those ports, and that was a big problem to them.
Well, I think you're right, Paul, but it's not, you know, the number of people working at the ports are going to go down. That's clear. But the system that took it down when you had the Chinese there was extraordinary because essentially it was like no Americans can touch this.
Right.
The Chinese didn't get rid of people because of labor costs. They got rid of people because they didn't want Americans watching what they were doing. You know, there's tremendous amount of smuggling that goes in through the ports. Almost all the fentanyl and all of the other opioids were coming through these containers. Nice, juicy side business, right? And if it's all automated, no eyes are looking.
Yeah, that's, and of course, being right there in Southern California, and of course, as you know, the rail lines go east from the port of Long Beach through Orange County and then out through San Bernardino area and up. You know, basically into the interior of the United States very quickly. They have built those rail lines, as you know, to be quite expansive and quite efficient. Now, one of the things that's really closely aligned to that is the rail yards, Chris. And what about those rail yards?
Well, the rail yards were an effort to try to get off the streets. That was actually something that made sense, but they put it on steroids and built this gigantic ditch down the center of, Long Beach and out to the rail crossing. You know, the rail came in 20 miles away is where the switch yards are because, you know, they used to come in from all over the United States. Now they just go out from Los Angeles to all over the United States. So you really reverse the process and you never built the infrastructure in Los Angeles as if you were going to export products. You know, LA went and changed the infrastructure in such a way as, you know, manufacturing was going to die. So, you know, access to shipping products on normal roads, highly congested. So the idea was you build this big ditch, you build a train, and, you know, it's environmentally sensitive. And you'll simply have these containers go right off the ship and right onto the train. And this opened, it was started in 1999. It was opened in 2000 and I believe three. Peaked in 2006, 2007, and just got back, was getting back to close to its volume about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. But it's come down since then. So, you know, when you look at the plans of government in 2000, they planned to get rid of your jobs. They worked really hard to do that and assumed that, you know, you wouldn't be working. You didn't need that $26 an hour, you know, manufacturing job with overtime. You didn't need that $90,000 a year.
Yeah, and of course, this process of replacement of the American citizen from jobs is continuing even until today. And of course, we were seeing the replacement of students in the colleges and universities starting in the mid-90s. That was a big concern that we had. Anyway, we got the music coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Chris Street here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, State of the Future. Check out our convention information. We'll be right back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-fill pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715, and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. And with us right now is Chris Street. And Chris is considered to be our co-host here on Agenda 21 Radio. And he's also a prolific writer, writes for American Thinkers and other publications out there. His most recent article is a big concern because it was something that the President of the United States put really started to take action on when he first became president. A lot of people don't know this. Chris, how did this all start with this whole, I guess you're saying, throwing out the Chinese from a major naval shipyard that is quite strategic to the security of the United States of America? We finally tossed him out. How did this all take place?
Well, the Port of Los Angeles and the Port of Long Beach together, I believe, are number one and number three in the United States. So, in a sense, it handles 60% of all the container traffic coming from Asia. So it is just a dominating situation. And, of course, where the container port is has the highest level of investment. I believe the city put something like $2.3 billion into that through municipal bonds. And you talked about the Alameda Corridor, which also, I think, the city put approximately $6 billion into. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was $10 billion of infrastructure invested here, and all of it, of course, was, you know, kissy kissy lovey lovey for the Chinese.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, but they brought a lot of money.
Well, the difference in the Chinese is, you know, I really respect the Chinese because I understand them. Doesn't mean that you wouldn't be suspicious or careful if you understand people. China has been taught that Americans are thoroughly corrupt because the people they interface with when they come to California, you know, I mean, it's embarrassing.
Because they're corrupt.
Thoroughly corrupt.
Thoroughly corrupted California officials. You know, Dianne Feinstein.
At UC Irvine, 50% of the, you know, graduate students in the business school, you know, are Chinese nationals. I thought it was a state university.
That's what, yeah, I know.
50%. You know, so, and then, you know, when you take the other, you know, 25% from the rest of the world, there's only 25% of Americans there, and God knows what percentage of that, they don't really break it out as to how many Californians. So the bottom line to this is the Chinese pay the most, they get the most. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. When you go to something like the state of California, you know, the Chinese are told how this works. You know, they don't, you know, they don't write a check or give a bag of money. That's not the way it's done. They use a consultant, right? They're told which consultant they will use and how that consultant and law firms will work. You know, and they pay those consultants and law firms. And, you know, those consultants and law firms feel honored to do the business, and because of that, they, you know, donate to campaigns and give to parties and things like that. So it is a completely corrupt structure that the Chinese are doing what they're told. I don't blame the Chinese. I blame the Americans.
Well, that's kind of an interesting, so the key is a consultant, isn't it?
Consultants and law firms, yes, it is.
So the consultants, let's talk about, do they form
Paul, let's put the quarter in the slot and hear the music. You've heard that one, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying
to
do right now.
Quarters in the slot.
Okay.
And hear the music really loud.
We can do that.
We did.
Well,
you know, stupid is as stupid does.
Well, I wanted to kind of make the point, though, about the consultants. Now, they oftentimes, do these consultants kind of group themselves together and form coalitions?
Well, sort of. They're usually ex-elected officials. Isn't that how funny?
Okay.
They're completely independent. You can tell, right?
Yeah, right, right. But they kind of coordinate their behavior, don't they?
And they might have a son, you know. His name might be Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, no, why are you laughing, Paul?
I'm just giggling.
You're a hater.
That's what it is. Yeah, I'm a giggler. A hating giggler. Nothing worse than a hating giggler.
You know, and what is hilarious to me is, you know, that you have the corporate press. It's not that the press is corrupt or dishonest. They're bought and paid for. It's corporate media. That's why people listen to you. If I wanted to get corporate media, I'd turn on CNN.
Yeah,
you don't think that CNN, you know, really helps sell more Tide soap is the reason that Procter & Gamble advertises for it. They only have an audience of, what, 500,000 people?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have that big an audience as a radio. I don't hear Procter & Gamble advertising on your channel, right, Paul?
No, that's the oddity about what we do, yes.
Yeah, but see, Procter & Gamble is an international, multinational corporation. They have multinational needs. The biggest multinational needs are to get, you know, to get cheap foreign labor, A, B, don't pay taxes, and C, even better, if I can get scab labor, you know, illegal aliens, that's what they used to call, you know, people that would break wages, scabs. You get scabs to come in and you have these fancy programs called HB1, or they're just flat out illegal, and they work for you for dog biscuits. And since they don't speak English, you know, you can treat them like dirt. You know, they don't pay them any benefits. What a wonderful country we live in.
Yeah, and that's really, that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's what's happening right now to our country, yeah. And certainly what's happening in California. That's why we have so many displaced people, especially in the Los Angeles area, about 60,000 plus homeless people.
Those, and they're not minorities. Uh-uh. Those are mostly white men. Those are people who used to be productive, would be happy to get up 4 o'clock in the morning, fix a lunch pail, and make $26 an hour and give you their heart and soul until the day they die. You'd have to pull them off the machine.
See, this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand, and I've tried to make this point because, you know, I walked the Santa Ana Trail when you had 3 or 4,000 people down there. I spent...
It turned out to be 7 to 9.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think they were saying that. That was clearly a lot more than that, you could tell. But the more human beings. And when I walked down there, it was evident. I mean, it was basically white males for the most part, and sometimes some family units. There was one couple down there that couldn't find a place to live, or they felt a little bit discriminated against, making about $100,000 for the couple. They had quite the tent situation, which is, you know, they were well better. They were better off than most. But they just couldn't get a place to live, and it was really amazing. They had their jobs in Orange County. They were going to stay there. But again, they were probably 50-ish, you know, in that age. Yeah, but most of the people there, Chris, were white people.
They were all former working people
who
had been dishonored by their nation.
Right.
Dishonored.
Yeah.
You know, they were a traitorous nation, and that's what America was. It was a traitorous nation to these people. Because it sold out to foreign entities. I mean, the Constitution was built off the concept of staying away from those people in Europe and those people in Asia and those people in other places because of how corrupt they are. You know, it worked great. It has always worked for a while, gone nasty, and come back. That's the one thing better about the United States. You know, in Europe, they don't have violence. They don't have guns because... Yeah, and they go for like 50, 60 years getting along, and then they kill 100 million people and get it out of their system.
Yeah.
That's not the country we are.
Well, that's the country they want to make us. It's pretty obvious.
Well, that's the country that they would make us, that they'd like to make us.
You know, one of the things, because you were involved with the movie Death by China, which came from Peter Navarro's book, and I think you're quoted in his book and helped him write some parts of it.
I'm in movie three. I'm three sections of the movie.
Okay. And your thoughts on how Peter Navarro is handling everything right now? Because Peter Navarro is obviously the trade advisor to Donald Trump, the President of the United States.
Well, you know, the biggest lies you learn in education is that, you know, it's the Republicans that, you know, caused the Depression by putting in the Smoot-Hawley tariff. Yeah. Had nothing to do with the Smoot-Hawley tariff. The Depression started because only two presidents in history have raised taxes in a recession. And that was a Herbert Hoover until 1922 was a Democrat. He changed to Republican to run in 28. He raised taxes in, I believe, 1929 when it was just starting and turned a recession into a depression. Barack Obama raised taxes and turned a recession into a near depression. You know, most of this stuff is self-inflicted.
Yeah. Yeah,
you think they pay taxes in China?
Oh no!
You go to China, you set up a factory, you know, don't pay taxes. You know, you pay the people very, very low. You know, you get your energy costs at a subsidy, and of course you pay 5% of, you know what, in gratuities called Guanji.
Mm-hmm.
No, they call it the soft five, Paul.
They call it the what?
Soft five.
The soft five. Mm. Well, let me jump in on the Guanji business because, you know, here we have some of the most notorious. Some people are starting to categorize them. There is the new fascists in town. You know, people that are the leaders of Google and Facebook and all that. They do a lot, and of course, Tim Cook, they do a lot of business in China. What is that relationship with these folks in China and vis-a-vis the United States? What's going on there with that?
Well, remember, Paul, when you deal in electronics or environmental issues, because you're using things like batteries, you know, this whole thing about we should be in the electric world, batteries are nasty. Take really, really hard to recycle and such like that. You own one of these hybrid cars, you know, like a Ford Escape. My daughter owned one, and they wanted to sell it. It turns out there's a $12,000 fee to get rid of the battery.
Oh, bro.
You like that one?
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, fine details, you know, details.
Mm-hmm.
But Silicon Valley outsourced their environmental issues. They outsourced their employees. They outsourced their tax rate to the point that that Apple from 2003 till 2015 paid 0.0005% corporate tax rate.
Hmm.
And of course, they insourced all of these, you know, all of their engineers, they insourced to HB1 and put them in dormitories, and they work in Silicon Valley. You know, there's how many people do you know that work in Silicon Valley anymore, Paul?
Well, there's fewer and fewer.
In technology, in like Apple or Google, how many know?
There's fewer than fewer, by far.
Very few I know.
Yeah.
And I have a technical background.
Well, you know, they're sort of portraying the five, if you will, right now. Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, Jeff Bezos, Sundar Pichai, and Tim Cook as sort of like the enemies of humanity, the new ones. Right up there with
Mark of the Beast.
Yeah, the new ones, like Adolf, the old ones being Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, and Mao Zedong, and of course the holdover of Mao Zedong, which is another thing we're going to get into right now. I wanted to talk about that, but these guys have been exploiting the China connection for years, and of course one of the things I want to get to is that the labor force in China that work for these folks, many of these folks, is really slave labor, isn't it?
Well, there are people from the provinces who don't have hukou, or hukou, whichever you want to pronounce it. The way China works is it's a communist country and you have welfare benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As long as you're in your province. If you move out of your province, you don't accrue any benefits. You don't have any benefits. So those people working in factories, living in dormitories. There's no benefits. They're not paying any overhead benefits. In most of America, benefits are on about 40%. It's 40% mark on to what you pay people. In China, they don't do that. They don't pay you Social Security in China unless you actually worked in your province. And, of course, the jobs are on the coast, which is, you know, they specifically hire people from outside their region. And they especially like people from outside the region because there's different dialect. They're treated as lower class people. They're discriminated against. So they live in dormitories. You know, they don't accrue any benefits. And, of course, they really can't go anywhere because of their, you know, it's obvious their dialect and their lack of hukou.
Mm-hmm.
Well, life is just beautiful for Apple, just beautiful for Google.
Well, in fact, isn't the suicide rate pretty high there for the workers?
No, they've cured that, Paul.
Yeah, right. Okay, right.
They put netting along the side of the dormitories to catch you.
So, in other words, they're high rises, stack and pack.
Yeah, and they've got obvious netting on, and you can see, so that you can't jump out the windows and kill yourself.
Because that was a problem.
That was happening regularly.
Right.
After a while, they'd figure out that they had been here for 4 or 5 years, that they were going nowhere. They couldn't afford to even go back to their home community. They had nothing. They're afraid they're going to get replaced by somebody else younger and poor, and they'd jump out windows. Well, they solved that.
With nets that catch them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, but let's go from nets to belts. The One Belt Road Initiative. What's that about? Right.
Well, Paul, I think this is the logical process for China. China was the richest country in the world, the most stable country in the world for a long period of time. Most people don't understand that China has dynasties, and these dynasties essentially are when one strong leader crushes the other six warlords in China. China was never one country. It was really six or seven countries. They had a warlord watch, you know, that ran that. But every once in a while, somebody gets strong enough and they'd crunch everybody and they'd form a dynasty. And that dynasty would go on for 100, sometimes 200 years until, you know, some warlord came and decided to take on the system and you have a new dynasty. And that's kind of the way it worked. But China made its real money because it traded with the West. The West, and this is how it actually worked. The Vikings and the Norsemen would take slaves that they would capture from raiding. They would sell them to the Orientals, which were the Muslims. The Muslims would then pay them in gold. They would take the gold and they would buy things from the Silk Road. You know, this was silk and porcelain and spices and issues like that, and also iron and steel. People do not realize that China was the number one manufacturer of steel, you know, 1,000 years ago. And that was the way the trade system worked. So it was a tripart system built on slavery. And it worked really kind of nice.
Kind of like what we're seeing coming across the border in America today.
And what did I say? Built on slavery.
Right. Built on slavery.
Isn't that the kind of same system?
Yes. Right now, like I always say, it's the trafficking in human flesh and slavery. What we're seeing.
Right.
So this One Belt Road Initiative really is a system.
It's an environmental effort to bring, you know, to energize the Eurasian plain. And when I say an environmental issue, I mean China's building 700 coal-fired power plants across the Eurasian plain. China is providing the steel. It's providing the resources. These people really never had electricity consistent, you know. And so China's goal is and I've been advising them this way. I lecture the Chinese since, I guess, 2011. But, you know, their future is not going east towards the United States. It's going west towards the Eurasian plain. Right now, China's trade with Europe is about 30% larger than its trade with the United States.
But in terms of size, though, the United States is still its biggest trading partner?
No. Well, the EU is the biggest trading partner. If you count, you know, one country, yes. But for the European community, EU, it's the largest trading partner by far.
So the one belt business, basically, the road, there's supposed to be a road that's going to follow.
One belt, one road.
Yeah. The road itself, the belt, is going to go from China to Europe. Isn't that correct?
If you look at it, it's very interesting how this works. It goes to the it goes east and then drops down straight through Pakistan with the idea, of course, to surround India and on to Iran and into the rest of the Eurasian plain.
Huh. Well, they've got I'm looking at several maps here. One of them draws
a maritime road, and you've got a train. When they say road, they really mean trains.
Right. And so it's a very interesting map. I'm looking at routes of the proposed belt. This must have been a couple years ago. But it's very, very interesting. One goes Central Asia to...
Well, do you see where it breaks and goes south?
Yeah, goes right
to Pakistan.
Goes to Pakistan, right. Yeah. Right there, past the Chinese border, down into Pakistan.
Right.
And then it's going to go up into the Persian Gulf and ultimately into Europe. You see that? And it's pretty interesting how they planned it. But the other part of this is the coordinated design insert themselves in various ports around the world.
Well, right. China doesn't have the United States and the port of Long Beach and Los Angeles. They've actually got to deal with the rest of the world. You know, the beauty of China and the U.S. is there are no nasty competitors along the way, right?
Right.
Now, when you want to go down south, you go through the Philippines, and between the Philippines and Vietnam, you go past Malaysia and Indonesia. You have to go through the Straits of Malacca and, of course, skirt Australia, then go by India, China's historic competitor, and then you got to go to this nice, safe place called the Middle East.
Okay, let's take another little angle, though. The influence
is that enough turmoil?
No, yeah, that's, well, my God. Anyway, but let's go to another place that's in turmoil right now, and that's South America and Central America. The Chinese influence there.
Well, I just think they are interested in trading with South America. I see no problem with that. I don't see problems with trade. I see problems with Americans.
Yeah.
You know, people have got to understand that the Chinese, you know, you see the deck and you play the card you dealt. You know, these, when you see socialism and Marxism in colleges, this is crowd control. This isn't, you know, a philosophy that's ever worked. It's not an economic system. It's a crowd control system. And you listeners today have to understand you're the crowd that needs controlling.
That's exactly what it is. That's why they can kill so many people at one time when the time's right. It's always been that way.
In Europe, they get along fine, then they kill 100 million. You know, how many people you got to kill?
Yeah. Precisely. You know, we'll just go ahead and knock them off. So the Chinese influence, though, in the United States, is it with the negotiations? Let's sort of switch gears here. Today, the Chinese show back up because Donald Trump puts the tariffs out. What about those tariffs? How did those come about in the negotiations? And now, what do you think is happening at the negotiations today?
There have always been, you know, since Clinton wrote the rules to WTO and negotiated the deal, there was always a requirement when it passed the Senate in 1999. There was always a requirement that you had to have a review of this process every year to make sure that it didn't destroy jobs. And that went along for a while, you know. And then Barack Obama came in, and he just waived it. I mean, there may have been a meeting, there may have been something, but essentially he, you know, as he told the American people, those jobs are never coming back. Why would we have a meeting to talk about it?
Nice.
His policies actually encouraged those transfers because, of course, Barack Obama really thought he was running for president of the world.
Right, right, right. He was.
He read the Marxist. You know, he read the Marxist economics. He was a Chicago guy, you know, who's, you know, this guy was always an insider. You know, he was a poor black kid that grew up in the hard streets of Honolulu, right?
Yeah, right.
He lived in a penthouse in Waikiki Beach on the water, and his grandmother worked for the Agency for International Development, better known as the CIA. Have you heard of that organization, Paul? Deep State CIA.
Yeah, I think maybe our listeners have heard too about the CIA.
Yeah. So I mean, he, you know, and Barack Obama was a tool of the machine. These people. That's why Comey comes out and says, after he's out of office, we'll indict him. I mean, who's the we? You know, he's still the FBI director. The deep state's still there. You know, these people are not going to go easy. They're actually a bunch of, you know, wussies. But, you know, they have a real big machine to throw at you, and they're happy to throw it. They just don't understand why that darn Donald Trump, he doesn't respond to our tools and tactics. He must be jailed.
Yeah.
Because he's dangerous. You know, the problem is that more and more Americans are dangerous.
Yeah, that's their problem. It's exactly right. As they become more economically unbound, they're more dangerous to them. That's
right.
The problem.
As your eyes are opened, you're not right. Going to be happy what you see.
Right, and that's exactly where we're seeing it right now. So, China going forward, though, what's this? What do you think is happening in the negotiations today?
Well, who's your daddy?
That's right.
All right, you know, if the United States had a $500 billion, half a trillion dollar trade surplus with China, then China would be our daddy, right? We'd have to get along. You know, they have a $500 billion trade surplus with the U.S., cause us all kinds of trouble. And, you know, we're supposed to double down on that, you know? I mean, our people are supposed to sell them another $500 billion access. No, Donald Trump's the first guy who, you know, is actually willing to confront the Chinese. The Chinese think, you know, their attitude is that we're stupid. They don't think they're smart. They just think we're stupid. We are so old and degenerate and useless that we would sell away jobs. They would never sell away jobs. Think about that. They worry in their country about people being out of work. You know, we give them welfare and put them in stack and pack housing, you know, with lots of violence and terrible situations and drugs, and walk on. It's not the Chinese that are bad. It's the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Not yeah. all of them. Some. Actually, well, a very small percentage. But, you know, you put people in a situation that's very difficult to negotiate a maneuver in, and pretty soon you have the few winners in the deep state, and you have, you know, all of the people who become compliant.
Well, that's exactly what they're trying to train everybody to do, too. There's no question about that.
I've been to the circus where they have the monkey on the chain.
Yeah, you've seen that.
Turn the organ and the monkey jumps around. You know, tell me what to do and I do it.
Yeah.
You feed me a little bit. Not that you've given me any freedom. You feed me.
So let's switch gears here now, too, also, because we're running out of time, actually, to what's going on in California. There's a May revise that's come out. Have you had a chance to look at that from the governor?
I really haven't had a chance to look, you know, other than the revise, you know, poppycock stuff from Newsom talking about how he wants to spend another $1 billion on the homeless. Yeah, you know where that money's going to. That's going to community organizing. He wants to spend, I believe, another $2 or $3 trillion on education. And he wants to, let me see, the other issue that he wants to get involved with is putting more money in the rainy day fund. Actually, it's pouring down rain and sleet right now. And last I checked, California is about to, Oroville Dam's about to crest. You know, but this game Newsom's playing on. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying his budget is bad. I'm just saying it's preposterous. Did I do that wrong?
Yeah, well, that's how...
He's not bad for wanting to spend money.
No.
He's a nice man. He wants to spend money. He wants to give you money. Not you. You know, the people he calls you is not necessarily you. But after raising all the taxes, doing all the things they're doing, you notice how the legislature is moving to try to break Prop 13 desperately.
Yeah.
Moving for SB 50. All these things that are really, really risky with voters because they're, you know, they without money, they can't bribe you. They have to tax you so they can bribe you back.
Yeah.
And the problem is they're, you know, this cash flow thing, you know, they've taxed people. They've done what they've done. You know, gas prices in California are 4.25 and 268 around the rest of the country. I mean, eventually people get mad and they vote with their feet. You know, they get on a train, plane, or automobile and go somewhere else.
Well, and of course, we're going to change that paradigm completely in New California.
That's right. They're going to go to New California, right, Paul?
Right. You know, that's why we tell people stand your ground because, you know, we're not going to take it anymore and come along with us.
And remember that California is, it's sort of like the Death Star is approaching. I mean, they don't have the cash flow to pay for this system. And, you know, if you're a Democrat, progressive, it's a very small percentage of America that are progressives, about 14 to 16%. You know, the rest of us, you know, they think they can bribe and do what's called intersectionality. You know, you're mad because you're Polish and, you know, you're mad because you're, you know, Haitian and you're mad because you're gay or you're mad. They try to find some way for you to hate everybody. They call that intersectionality. They put their intersectionality together and get a, you know, group of haters. And, you know, that's their majority. But the problem with that group is you have to pay each one of those groups.
Right.
You've got to pay the VIG. And they're running out of VIG to pay. And when you take the VIG away, boy, those groups go nasty.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. California is out of cash flow. And, you know, you're really starting to run out of the ability to borrow.
Yep. Timeline on this? Six, eight months?
I said you'd have a crisis in May. You'll have a crisis in November. This is a little crisis in May. You know, tariffs. You know, everything about China trade shrinking kills California's
right.
Democrats. The big play is in November. Wait until November when the Death Star appears.
When the Death Star appears. Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of interesting timing. Coming up in next week, though, is we have the new California State Convention number 4 in Fresno. Any messages for anybody there?
Well, I think you're just damn stupid if you don't show up. I mean, why would you waste your time? I went to a big Republican meeting, and I really like these people, Republican Women Federated in Santa Monica, in the belly of the beast. And I'm telling them, look, you guys are about to win. And they're going, what? I said, you know, the progressives are blowing themselves up. Get involved in the game, but don't play for I might get an assemblyman, or maybe I'll get a city councilman or something. Play for the whole game. Play for the board. Join New California. We're going to flip the script and create California again. The other people, those progressives, they can have their social justice wonderland and you know, this little thing. And we're going to own the strong economy and the great lifestyles that California used to have. You know, so if you want to play for a little, you know, sit there and argue, complain. And if you want to play for it all, show up in Fresno, you know, plane, train, or automobile. Run. You know, it's going to be fun. Join people that are happy, that are winning.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Don't be that guy in the block that just complains. Come to Fresno and get in the game. Feel like you're going to win. Feel for the first time in years that it's going to be great for your kids. It's going to be great for their kids.
Yeah, that's the thing that is so awesome about what we do is it's exciting. And the people are up and ready to go
sometimes
and creating
you
something
just
new.
Smack people who want to go back to that old way of thinking, you know, misery. No, misery doesn't need company. You know, if you want to be miserable, join the progressives. They think everybody hates each other.
Yeah, they do.
They hate themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
They know when they wake up in the morning, they're stealing people's lifestyles, destroying families, you know, making folks miserable by exporting their jobs and doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you don't usually hate the people you fight. You know, you don't usually hate the people that you compete with. You hate the people that you destroyed and you feel bad. But in order to not feel really bad about that, you decide you hate them. You know how that game's played.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we know how that plays. We know how that plays very, very well. So but the situation is we've been calling it, and I know that you're really on top of this, but it's pretty obvious as we start to take a look at the state legislature of California, what they're doing, how they're behaving. It is just they're just getting more and more base, it seems like, every single day. And again, they have an 11-month legislature, so they can pass just about anything, do anything. And of course, you have now Gavin Newsom, who's you know, basically Jerry Brown part deux. And
well, he's definitely duh, but you know,
he's duh, yeah, that's right, but he is duh. But the other part of it, though, that is amazing is that we're getting response from law enforcement. We're reaching out to law enforcement and the agencies and the institutions, and they're all over us. They think this business about New California is awesome. They want information. We give it to them. It is it's very heartening to them to think that there's an alternative to lawlessness that we're seeing here in California today.
Well, I have a piece in American Thinker, Trump, one of the few presidents more popular than at inauguration. If people do not understand that Trump is killing it right now, I mean, the only other presidents that were higher in job approval after 830 days in office, 119 weeks, were George Bush Sr., who just sort of we thought won the first Gulf War, and George Bush Jr., which was still responding from 9/11. But nobody, you know, for the last since 1944, has been higher in their third year of office than when they were elected. So if he's higher now, and you know, minorities haven't turned, you know, to identifying with Republican or leaning Republican, but they're not showing up for the poll.
Right.
They're not showing up to vote. It's actually dropped down tremendously because they know their masters are doing them in. Maybe when Barack Obama was there, it was aspirational. But, you know, there's nothing aspirational about Nancy Pelosi. There's nothing aspirational about Chuck Schumer. I mean, these people, you know, all are millionaires who made all their money off the system.
Yeah.
So, you know, minorities, and interesting that, you know, the haves and the have not argument. Right now, Americans are 57% Americans say that that's not a real comparison. And interestingly enough, it's I believe that 52% of Hispanics don't buy that argument. Only 37% of Hispanics buy that argument.
Well,
so minorities are slipping away
from
the Democrats and the progressives.
Well, listen, Chris, we've got to run for time now. Tell us how we where we can get you.
American Thinker every day, every other day. But, you know, let's get in the game, show up in Fresno, and change the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Chris, for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Bye, all.
Okay, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. This show will be airing on Saturdays from 4 to 6 on KMYC 1410 AM in Northern California, and also Red State Talk Radio and our podcast. So thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.